Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Everyone has at least one good story.
And some of us have stories that are just to the left of normal.
We're interested in the ones that push the boundaries of what we can perceive.
Stories that defy explanations.
Stories with an air of mystery.
Stories we might not share.
For fear of being thought of differently.
But don't worry. We're all friends here. So, what's your weird story?
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast. This is Barry Johnston with my co-pilot, Adam Beebe.
Hey, Barry. How's it going?
Really good, man. Feeling good. So we got to tell the people that we came back from a little trip we took.
Yeah, we mentioned it in last episode with the Hubbards, how I came down and met up with you and Jeff, and we went down to Hinobia, Oklahoma for the Oklahoma Bigfoot Fest.
Yeah, that was a trip, man. It was literally a trip. Yeah, it was I've never been down there. It was a long haul.
Down to the scary parts.
Yeah. It's a different type of Oklahoma. You know, in our part of the world, we don't get to experience very much of, but it was a lot of fun. And I didn't really know what to expect.
Yeah, you know, I didn't either. And, well, yeah, like you said, it's a whole other world from where we grew up, our part of Oklahoma. We were very much in the plains part, the very flat farmland part. Not a whole lot of trees, but, man, we were down in the mountains and with trees.
Yeah. The people had a thicker draw, you know?
Yeah, dude, for sure.
It was pretty cool because when we got there, we pretty much went directly to the festival the first day just to check it out, get the lay of the land. And, you know, it was real simple. They had some vendor booths down there. They had some real good food.
They had a lot of good food.
Wasn't it good, man? I think I had the Cajun food a few times, and they had some pretty neat vendors that sold some pretty cool stuff. And we actually got into a conversation with one of the guys who shared some pretty cool information with us about Sasquatch.
We met some people while we were there, and we're going to try to get them on in the future. We heard some great stories, people just opening up and telling us stuff, and it was fantastic. And a lot of stories that we collected down there, and there was a lot more Bigfoot-type action that happens in Oklahoma than I had ever imagined.
Well, that part of the world is kind of fit for it because it's thick wilderness, man.
You know, that's true.
We had a cabin that was out in the middle of nowhere, and at night we would sit out on the porch on the balcony, and we would just sit there and have some drinks or have some food and just listen, because the coyotes and whatever else is out there, just, you know, they're all singing, and it's pretty incredible. You could tell where maybe some of those stories could come from. You know,
there may have been some hooping at some Bigfoot type hooping attempts made by people in our expedition.
Yeah.
But no responses that we're aware of.
Yep.
But we did manage to turn on a little field recorder, and we're going to try to whittle away some of that nonsense into some kind of bit of an episode, probably be like a special episode or a bonus episode in the future. So that's something to look forward to. Yep. But, it was a lot of fun. Yep. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was great. So
you and me and our buddy Jeff Hubbard from the past episode, we discussed the podcast in general and how it's going and how to make improvements and additions. And so you might be hearing another voice on here occasionally.
Yeah, we're always thinking about different ways to improve and to make things better. So
with all that out of the way, Barry, we should probably get to our guest today.
Yeah, today is a really good storyteller by the name of Bucky. He's your friend, and he's got some real weird ghost-type stories, which are always welcome. I mean, it's amazing how people have these stories that they're real near and dear to their heart, and, and you can tell, as far as their experience, that it definitely happened to them.
Yeah, and Bucky's, he's got a lot of stories, but the ones he's got for us today all are directly tied to his family. They're really cool, you know. They're weird, they're strange, they're beyond the normal by all means. They're funny and they're touching, and so I guess we should get Bucky in here and have him tell his tales. So without further ado, Bucky, welcome to the podcast. What's your weird story?
Okay, so where do I start? Well, so I guess the best part to start at is I was about between the ages of 7 and 10, let's say 8 for the sake of everything. It's about 8 years old, and I was at my grandmother, grandfather's house, which I spent a lot of time at as a kid. And I was, like, you know, pseudo-raised there and wherever else I was going to be. And I remember I was hanging out with my cousin Jeffrey, and it was snowing on the ground. This is going to go, like, way further from this. But so it starts where
just let it go, man. It's we got time. You know, the best, the more you can set it up with the details, and the more you're painting the bigger picture for our audio, for our listeners, because this is, you know, it's the audio medium. So it works out great when you're just, you know, you're giving us all that detail. So right, carry on.
So, yeah. So anyways, we're outside, it's snowing on the ground, and we're building a snowman, or we're trying to build a snowman, and Jeffrey's ruining it, you know, because he's not a very nice kid at this point. Nobody likes spending much time with him. And I was just kind of forced to because he was at my grandparents' house. So we're making a snowman and trying to make a snowman. And my grandmother comes out of the house, stands on the porch, and is yelling at us to come inside or do whatever. And then while she's out there talking to us, my grandfather walks out of the house right behind her. And says, he's like, he's like pointing at his eyes. And he's like, look at my eyes. Like, what's going on? And all I remember hearing her say was, she looked at his eyes for a minute. Like, she looked in and, like, looked close. And she goes, well, that's jaundice. And then I assume they both went in to both go look at it in the mirror and talk about it or whatever. So at this point, I'm, you know, about 8 years old. I have no idea what jaundice is. I've never heard of it. I don't know, you know, I couldn't tell you what it meant. But for whatever reason, when she said that, I remember becoming, like, I don't know, just, like, really angry. Like, furiously angry at this mystery word that I knew nothing about that she said, you know. So, get really angry, and then, you know, that was pretty much it for that. That's just for context, but, like, I didn't know why, and I didn't understand it, really. Well, so fast forward to, I don't know, it was maybe, like, a couple weeks later, my grandfather was on a hunting trip. And he's on this hunting trip, and he fell in the water. He fell in a lake. And, you know, he got drenched. It's cold outside. And then he comes back and he's sick, obviously, because he's, you know, soaking wet in the elements. So he's sick. He finds out, he goes to the doctor, you know, to see what exactly it is. And turns out that they found he had a tumor, or he had, you know, something around, like, his pancreas. And that's what was causing the, you know, the jaundice.
Right.
Well, I still, you know, I'm a little kid. I know nothing about any of this stuff. Like I said, I knew that he went to the doctor, and I knew that he was sick, but of course they didn't take the time to explain to me what exactly was going on. But so I guess fast forward, like, maybe another couple of weeks, maybe a week, somewhere along in that timeline. I'm sleeping in my grandparents' room. Whenever they watch me, I would sleep on a cot at the foot of their bed. And, I remember I'm asleep, and then I wake up just in the middle of the night. No particular reason. There wasn't, like, noises or anything. I just woke up, and I remember, so on next to my, grandparents' room, there's a little add-on room that my grandfather had built. And there's no one in the room ever, but when I woke up, the door was cracked just so, and then there was, you know, a light on in there. So I, being a little kid, figured, like, there must be somebody in there. So I get up. When I get up, I look to the left, which is where my grandparents' bed is, and they're both in bed asleep. And I see them both there, and there, you know, just sleeping like normal. Everything was completely casual and normal.
So you just wake up, just, you know, just kind of like out of, probably out of a dream, you just wake up normally, or was it kind of like a sensation of some kind of like, you know, I mean, or was it just, was it normal, or was it unusual to wake up in this manner?
You know, I mean, honestly, when I was young, I had kind of like, I don't know, my sleeping patterns were all weird, and I kind of had like insomnia, and like I was, you know, but I don't remember anything particularly strange about waking up this time, but it was so long ago, I can't really say. But anyway, so the door's cracked open, there's a light on in the room, and I knew that there was nobody else in the house. So I got up, and I'm like kind of just like rubbing my eyes and like shuffling around and look over. Like I said, my grandparents are there, both of them. They're just asleep. And so I go to see what's in the room. As I push open the door, there was my grandfather, who was in bed, who was also standing in the room in front of me. I knew it was him. It was his face. But so my grandpa was kind of a big guy, burly guy, you know, and he was a larger fella. He drank a lot of beer, big beer belly, everything. And I noticed that, like, it's him. I know it's him. You know, I'm looking at him, but he's not big and burly. He's, like, kind of skinny. He's more skinnier sort of dude. And I noticed that his eyes were, like, yellow, like, not just, like, you know, a tinge of yellow, but they were really yellow, like, glowing almost, but not, I don't know if they're glowing, but it was really, my eye was drawn to it. It was different.
Wow. Yeah. So was it like the eyeball, the pupil, was it yellow, or was it like the area around, or was it like
the white of his eye was, but it was like really kind of piercing, or just really kind of took me off guard. And I, you know, I'm standing there, I'm a little kid, and I don't know what to think, because I mean, I obviously the first thing I thought was that I'm dreaming or something, like I had like a waking dream or something like that. So I look at it, I kind of step back and look over in the bed, and there they both lie still. And then I look back into the room, and there he is.
Wow. So are you freaking out at this point, or are you still trying to put it together?
I don't know if you aren't, but I certainly am freaking out at this point.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding.
Well, I was scared, I guess, but I mean, I wasn't necessarily freaking out, because I, like you said, I couldn't really put it together. I couldn't understand exactly what was going on.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I said, Poppy. That's what I called him when I was a little kid. I'd say, Poppy. I said, hey, Poppy. And he just looked at me. He didn't say anything. And then I said again, I said, Poppy. And he just looks at me, doesn't say anything. He's standing really still. Like, he's there, but I mean, he's just really still. Like I said, weird version of himself, skinny, yellow eyes, and he doesn't say anything. He just looks at me, and I didn't know what to do or what to think. And so I imagine that I didn't know what to do. So basically I shut the door behind me, and I went and woke him up over in the bed. And I asked him why he was in the other room, right?
Yeah.
So he's
as you do.
Imagine now for a second what it would have been like for you to be woken up by your grandkid, one of your grandkids saying, "Why are you in the other room?"
Yeah,
I can't imagine.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh man, and that and your look of a. I would imagine that your confusion at that moment of what being woken up and asked that question must match the same kind of like what expression that is going on you, which would have been you, Bucky, that asking that. That's just.
I mean, it was interesting. I asked him, and I just woken him up and startled him or whatever, and he's like, not that he was a. he wasn't really a super stern guy or anything. He was actually really nice, but he, you know, he kind of just wrote it off. He's like, what do you, he's like, you're having a dream or, you know, something mm-hmm. to that effect. He's like, just go back to bed and don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. And he said, why is the light on in the room? And he's like, did you turn the light on? And I was like, no, it was on. The light was on. You were in there and all this.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, right.
And he's like, he goes, go turn the light off and go to bed. So I'm like, okay. So I go and I was like, I'll show you. And I like open the door. And then, of course, to make me look crazy as a little kid, there's no, you know, it's not there. Yeah, it's just the lights on. And I'm just, you know, mouth agape. Just like so confused. And he said, turn the light off and go to bed. So then I did turn the light off, shut the door, and then went to bed. Of course, didn't sleep, just like, you know, clutched the covers.
Didn't want to go to sleep.
Stared at the ceiling. Yeah. So anyways, so I see that and, you know, go to sleep and eventually whatever, and then wake up the next day and, you know, I didn't really ask him anything about it. We kind of just blew over and didn't say anything about it for a long time. So as it turns out, when he had gone to the doctor, they had found pancreatic cancer is what he had. And so over the next, you know, 6, 7, 8 months, I slowly watched my grandfather turn into that, the other version of him that I saw in that room.
Wow.
And, you know, it was always really, I never mentioned it to him or anyone else for like a long time because he was so quick to have written it off in the first place. But I mean, to the T, as he like went through chemo and all of this stuff and lost his appetite, he lost a lot of weight, and then his eyes got, you know, I mean, they didn't get to the glowing really mm-hmm. super yellow like I had seen in this thing, but that's what it looked like.
Wow.
And by the time he was, you know, finally, because that's a rough cancer, by the way. It's like one of the worst ones you can have.
Yes.
And towards the end, right before he was admitted to the hospital, like for the last time, pretty much, he looked, I mean, like the spitting image of this, whatever I had seen inside that room.
Wow. Did you ever tell anyone else?
You know, the weird thing is that I thought that I had as a kid, but then it was so long that I didn't really, you know, it wasn't talked about a whole lot after he was gone. And then this was actually pretty recently, which is what, you know, reminded me of it. And I reached out to you about is like, I was talking to Mom and we were talking about, you know, spooky stuff and parallel universes and paranormal stuff and all sorts of just, you know, back and forth about it. And I was like, well, I told you about how I saw Grandpa, right? And she said, no. And I was like, I didn't tell you about that? And she said, no, you never told me in it. So I told her the story, and she's totally freaked out, you know, just like completely. But I guess I never really told anyone, even though I felt like in my mind that I had, you know. Yeah. Like,
well, I think we find kind of what happens here when you tell these stories is you realize that maybe you don't tell that very many people because you get weird, you know, you think that people are going to judge you or think you're crazy, you know.
Yeah.
But it's so and
maybe
weird.
A little bit more as a kid.
Absolutely.
Yeah, when you're a little kid,
yeah.
Little kids get dismissed a lot more quickly whenever because they are more imaginative, more active in imagination, and we've talked about that before. And more easily to be just go back to bed or go play or whatever. You didn't see that, you know.
Yeah.
And it also, as I think as a little kid, when you sometimes you tell something to an adult and you are dismissed, then you like you were dismissed by your grandpa, that, you know, well, maybe it's not worthy of being of telling, you know. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's what you did. You just kind of like, okay, well, you know, whatever, you know, you just took it as this is a unusual but apparently not an experience not to be worried about, because grandpa just said don't worry about it, go back to sleep.
Right,
that's kind of
interesting.
That's the impression.
it's interesting because usually those kinds of things where you, you'll have, I don't know what you'd call it, but aspiration or, visualizing a person outside of their body would be after someone's passed away or something like that. It's rare that it would be at the same time.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And it was super, like, it was just jarring, and I didn't know what to think. But yeah, but kind of like you said, as he dismissed it, and I think that dismissal sort of made it less real to me at that time, because, you know, once you're convinced that you haven't seen something, or once someone says that you haven't seen it, then, you know, as a kid, you know, you're still learning, and you convince yourself that you didn't see it
right
until you remember it. And then it's like, whoa, man. Like,
plus, your parents, and especially your grandparents, are, you know, you see them as being old and wise. You know, grandpa is old and wise. He's like, you know, almost like Santa Claus, you know, where they, like, you know, he's old. And so he, you know, you kind of get that idea that if it's something that grandpa says, you know, then it's nothing to worry about, you know, or whatever, you know, you can totally just move on with it.
Absolutely. You know? So absolutely.
Yeah. That's interesting.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Interesting that you, like, I guess the validation would be that you had no idea as a kid what that disease looked like, and yet you were seeing it, and then in real life it happened. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it was a self-fulfilling thing, you know?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and it's like, you know, I feel like I've been, for, especially when I was a kid, and, like, you know, just every now and again as an adult, I feel like I'm open to stuff like that. I've seen quite a few things that I just, you know, I couldn't explain it away, basically. And I'm, you know, sort of maybe in touch with something like that. I don't know. But, I try to write stuff off, or I try to debunk it before I would even talk about it. But that's just so, you know, blatant. And once I put the pieces together and realized, I was like, oh my God, like, that's, you know,
yeah,
that's what he ended up looking like. And that's what I saw, and I never understood it, you know? So
amazing.
Wow. Yeah. I wonder, and I've been, especially recently, I've been wondering a lot if a certain type of people, or maybe, your, you know, your brain chemistry or something that allows you to be more in tuned to see kind of, you know, these things, because, like, you know, like, I haven't seen anything that was like a ghost, and I don't believe Barry has. Unless that's changed.
No, never an aspiration. I've had other experiences, but I never visualized something, you know?
Yeah.
Other of intensity.
Yeah, because I mean, we've got an interview coming up that is going to really pinpoint out that sometimes you can be around something and totally unaware of what has gone on before you or even after you, and that's going to be pretty soon here. That might be the one episode right after this one. It's going to focus on me, not actually on me, but, it's about how my unseeing, my not being able to notice things. But, then again, I don't know, you'll have to listen.
Well, I imagine that, like, I think that a lot to do with it, you know, cause I've met people throughout my life that, you know, sometimes I tell them a story, or I'll be like, you know, there's something spooky about that. And, you know, they're really quick to just say, ah, you know, like, they dismiss it straight off or whatever. And I've talked to some people that are like, hey man, I've seen stuff too. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I think that just the sheer being even a little bit open to it and realizing the idea that there might be something to it might even set you more in tune with things like that.
Yeah.
Whereas most people just like straight away, their mind is sort of programmed to not let them go there at all. Absolutely. Like they don't even explore that.
Yeah.
So if you don't explore it, then you can never, I mean, you're not going to see it.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
You probably won't even remember it. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Those are dangerous and uncharted territories. You know what I'm saying? And so for some people just can't, they don't, it's like they want to live in the, you know, which is fine. But
yeah.
I mean, when you've had an experience, you know, that is, you can't explain it. You know, it's like you're either going to get it or you don't. And the people that don't, hey, fine, you know, but people that do get it, you know.
You know, we've talked about it before as well, is perception is, you know, you influence your perception with, you know, how you take things in and all your, you know, your experiences beforehand. And if somebody tells you something and you want to believe it, then you're going to believe it. You know,
right.
If somebody tells you something that this is the way it is and everybody else is going along saying this is the way it is and you want to believe that's the way it is, you go along with it and you're part of that and you believe it. And so, you know, I don't know, because I honestly, personally, I know a lot of people who have had the weird supernatural experiences, but I also feel a lot of times when I hear something, I don't know, half the time when I hear something, I am like, I don't know, you know, maybe that happened to them or not. But then also that's one of the reasons why we're doing this, is because like we can hear when somebody's speaking, how they're telling a story. If this is, you know, if it's real, it's real to them for sure.
Yeah.
And that's what's the important thing. And so, you know, I can, you know, you can tell when somebody's like, you know, like this is how they feel. So I don't know. I just went off on a ramble there.
No, it's good.
Sorry. I also got distracted by, I think there's some people knocking at the front door. I hope we can't hear it, but,
I hear it.
Yeah. All right, cool.
I think that what you're saying is like, it is important. I mean, I think it's important to have some degree of skepticism towards everything.
Oh, yeah.
And if I try to, you know, I try to take everything with a grain of salt and, you know, and I listen to what anybody has to say, but I mean, if you legitimately have exhausted all your, to your knowledge, scientific outlets, you know, all the things, and then you're still left with like, you know, what the fuck is this? You know, like those are the things where I'm like, dude, I don't know. Like, how do you explain it? It has to be something, you know?
Yeah. Yep. And that's the thing, is we can only measure so many things scientifically, you know?
Yeah.
And even still,
we're still learning with how to measure things more accurately and better with our science. You know?
Right.
So, yeah.
For sure. Wow.
Cool.
Good one, man. That's a good story. Follow us on our journey through the weird wide world on our social media sites. Our Instagram is What's Your Weird Story. Remember that your is spelled Y-E-R. So that's WHATSYERWEIRDSTORY. You can find us on Twitter at What's Your Weird. We have the What's Your Weird Story podcast Facebook page. We're also at www.whatsyourweirdstory.com. Feel free to drop us a line through any of the social media platforms. Just remember that the What's Your Weird Story podcast doesn't exist without your stories. If you have something interesting and weird to share, please get in touch.
Now, you at the beginning of your story, you're talking about the building of the snowman. So, and did you ever finish the snowman?
No, actually, I told you I got this weird feeling of like, you know, this rage, and I didn't understand it. So I smashed it. Like, it's funny because me and my cousin are building the snowman, and then like we're at the bottom or whatever, and she says this and whatever made me mad, and I just went, My cousin was really mad at me, but I was mad at him too because he sucked.
Okay, now this you know. This brings me around to another point, is because as we were talking, we had talked before that something else strange happened, and it involved your, I think you said your great grandfather and your cousin.
Yeah, That was so my for a little bit of context, my cousin was really like a hyperactive, like he was just a, you know, I was a little asshole kid, but he was just a real like problem child, as in like he's hyperactive. He was just I mean, ultra mischievous. I feel like a lot of kids are, you know, they get into stuff and little boys and they're, you know, they do things, but he was just, you know, he was that without like the conscious part of it. Like it's like he didn't.
Okay. So you,
give a shit.
All right. So like, if we're making analogies here, you were problem child from the movies, problem child, little redhead kid that was mischievous, but right. then he was Damien. From right. Omen.
I mean, I don't want to give him Damien because Damien was at least a strong silent type. Jeffrey was just, I don't know how to explain it, man. He's just, you know, if there was shit going on, Jeffrey was attached to it. If he was around somebody, like, it was a definite thing. Yep. He lied to everyone constantly, and I don't even know how to explain it, but he was just about it.
I think we all at least knew one kid like that growing up, but Barry and I can definitely pinpoint.
Yes.
I think we're thinking of the same person. Yeah. If we didn't say any names, Mom's but you know.
Well, so anyways, Jeffrey sucks. And so the what I was talking about before was at my grandfather's house. This is like years later when I'm in high school. So I'm in high school and I live directly across the street from my high school. Next door to us lives my great grandfather, my great aunt, and Jeffrey. And we're next door neighbors and like, you know, we're related. It's all in the family. So we're always at each other's houses and whatever. And, you know, my great-grandfather is 80-some-odd years old. I think he was 82 when he died, so he was 82, because that was right around that time. He calls me on the phone one day, and he's frantic, and he's not like a frantic sort of guy. He's really cool, just always really chill, garden, really calm sort of dude. And he calls, he's like, get over here. I don't know what's going on. There's shit flying everywhere and Jeffrey and all this stuff. And I don't know what's going on. Just get over here. So I hang up the phone. He's really, you know, at this point he's an older guy. He's on oxygen and stuff. So I thought there's some emergency. So I, you know, my friend Brian was with me at my house and we fly out the door and fly right into his door next door. And I get in there and he's trying to catch his breath and he's like trying to tell me there's stuff broken. I mean, there's just stuff like had like fallen off shelves and there was a Lego helicopter that Jeffrey had made that was like smashed into a million pieces all over the ground. And he starts to tell me and Brian, who is also, you know, somebody I mentioned to Adam was, I spent a lot of time at his house as a kid, and his house was just straight up like his family was on the news and was on, you know, talk shows and stuff like that because it was supposedly haunted. So he's open to this type of thing. And so we go over there. My great grandfather's telling us, but he's like, I don't know what the hell's going on, but there's, you know, this vase. First the vase fell, and then that Lego helicopter fell and smashed everywhere, and it's just, I don't know what's going on. And so me and Brian are kind of don't know what to, you know, think. He's obviously not, you know, he's not demented or he's, you know, just normal. He's just really freaked out.
So, okay, so you responded to the call and you went over there and with your buddy. And was your great grandpa and Jeffrey, your cousin Jeffrey, was there as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how old was Jeffrey?
Oh, at this point he must have been maybe 10 or 11 or 12. Okay,
so still a young guy. Still a really young guy. Okay.
Yeah. And so he tells us this. He tells us the stuff that's happening. And so we're like, we don't know what to think. You know, we're kind of just standing there. You know, we're like, okay, well, And I, you know, I think I even started to like pick some of the stuff up and like, you know, get it together. And as I'm picking stuff up and Brian's just kind of standing there, a picture flies off the wall and hits Brian in the shoulder and falls to the ground.
How far away from the wall was he?
I mean, he wasn't super far. I mean, maybe 3 feet or so, but like, you know, still, it couldn't have fallen, you know.
It launched off the wall.
And wow. So we're like, what the hell is that? You know,
was it a picture of Jeffrey?
I can't say for certain, but I don't think it was. I think it was just another, you know, family. There was a lot of pictures on his wall.
Yeah.
So, you know, still, we're not. I don't know. I didn't see it hit him. Brian's like, that picture hit me. And I'm like, dude, I didn't see it. But then after that, we hear something in the next room fall over. It's like we go in there and there's a glass jar candle, whatever, that had fallen down and broken. And so we're going room to room and we're chasing this, you know, crashing and stuff that's going on. And every time we get into a room, there's nothing there, but something else is broken.
Wow. Oh, man.
And we do this. I mean, it must have been 20 minutes that it was just happening. Like, it just kept happening to the point where we're just like, you know, we're just like, okay, we're going to stand still and we're not going to go from room to room because that, if anything, that's perpetuating it, something like that.
Well, like you're chasing it or whatever. It's like playing games with you.
Playing
games with you. Was it playing games with you? I got really excited about that. Sorry.
I mean, it kind of seemed as such. It just seemed like it wasn't. We didn't feel. I don't know. I didn't feel in danger. Brian didn't feel in danger or anything like that. But it was just more of a. Yeah, it was more of kind of a mischievous sort of thing, I guess. Things breaking. So we stand still, we go out on the porch, and, you know, like, I mean, we don't know what to think, you know, like, but at this point, me and him have both, you know, seen things, and me and him have had conversations about it, like, before, but we weren't having conversations about it that day. I mean, but we're like, I don't know, is it, like, ghost? Is it, like, some weird, is there an explanation for it,
mm-hmm.
basically, and... I mean, we couldn't figure it out. So we wait for, I think that my grandmother came over, that I called her and told her what was going on. I called my mom and told her what was going on. And I was like, dude, I don't know. We're at grandpa's house and all this stuff's happening and we don't know what to think. So we wait for one of them to get there. I think it was my grandmother, I'm pretty sure. And I mean, we tell them the spiel and like they don't know what to make of it either. We don't know why it's happening. And at this point, it's kind of calmed down, but it's like there's still every now and again, there's like maybe something's not breaking, but it's a noise or it's something that's just is this eerie. It's hanging in the air, kind of, you know. And they didn't know what else to do other than so they called. And I don't remember exactly what they were called at the time. And it would have had to have been, this was like, oh man, I couldn't tell you what year it was, honestly, but they called Louisville paranormal investigators, basically. Yeah. Like, so Louisville paranormal shows up and they're walking around with, I'm assuming is like a, what is it? EMF?
Yeah. Meter. Mm-hmm. It measures electromagnetic fields.
Yeah. So they're walking around and it's the needles going around and, you know, I stood out on the porch while they did all of that. I didn't go from room to room with them or anything like that.
Did they show up in an old ambulance?
They didn't show up in an old ambulance, but they did show up in an old van.
I was curious how Ghostbuster centric they were.
No, that would have been awesome.
I would absolutely, if that would just be the best thing ever if somebody showed up. You called up, you're having, I mean, I would laugh, it would lighten the moment, you know, lighten the mood. I'd be like, this is great. These guys, they have a sense of humor about this spirit from the netherworld that's haunting us, that, you know, they got it. So that's cool. All right. Come on in.
If we ever started a paranormal investigator team, we know we have to get one of those old.
That's right.
So anyways, I guess they go and take their readings or whatever, and then they start going from person to person talking to everyone. They go to my grandfather, talk to him. We weren't in the room, just asked him questions. They asked my grandmother questions, and she's like, I wasn't here, but she was talking about how she heard the noises when she was there. And they come to talk to me and Brian, and we're like, yeah, dude, shit was flying everywhere. Like, we don't know. Like, I guess, I mean, who knows what it was? There's no real explanation for it. And then they go to talk to Jeffrey. And they took Jeffrey in a room by himself, closed the door. And
no one saw them again.
And, well, no. not yet, I guess. But So they go in there and talk to him. And they come out, and this was a while ago, so they basically what they said was they were talking to Jeffrey, and that they, through all of this, had determined that he had this negative air about him. Like, he was just a little ball of energy, but it was like bad kind of energy, like negative energy.
Yeah.
And like frustrated negative energy. Mm-hmm. And they said that of course, we weren't in there to attest to this, but I believe them because of everything that we had just seen. They said that what they were in there talking to him, that one of the books that were on the bookcase came off of the bookcase as they were talking to him. So that's that's what they told they didn't tell us that. They told my grandmother that, and then my grandmother relayed the stuff to us after they had already left. So that happened, and then it stopped. Like, I mean, it was pretty much after they talked to him about it, like, nothing else happened that night, nothing else happened the next week, and nothing else happened the following week except for my great-grandfather, who at this point is old, and he's not in failing health, but, you know, he's on oxygen, and he's, you know, he gets sick every now and again. But that 1 week passed, and then the next week, at the end of that next week, we got a call in the morning, and he had died in his sleep in his bedroom, you know, and he wasn't, you know, particularly
ill
and failing health.
Wow.
You know, he any more than he ever was, you know what I mean? Like, right. He was out the week before mowing his lawn and gardening.
Yeah.
And all this shit happens, and then the next week he's, you know, he died peacefully in his sleep.
Right.
That's a comfort. I mean,
right. You know,
there's that. So
yeah.
I mean, I could never, I don't know if that, you know, and I don't even know if it's related. It just seems odd to me that that happens right after that happens, you know.
That's crazy.
So, they spoke and they told you all of this. Whatever happened, was there a follow-up? Did they bless the house? Did they try to exercise Jeffrey or something? I don't know. Was there any kind of a follow-up, or do you know?
I honestly don't know. That was all that I ever saw of them.
Mm-hmm.
If they did do something, or if they were in contact with anyone, it was with my grandmother, and she never said anything about it or told us anything outside of that first day.
Mm.
And then it just kind of was just over, and since it was over and nothing was happening, I guess the idea was just to don't poke the bear and just leave it.
Right, right.
You know, as isolated thing.
Does did anything happen after, like, in the home, or you know, after he was gone? Like, anything after that you said that it happened before. There were some things that happened before.
Yeah,
before that, and then I was just curious if anything happened after, if maybe there was something connected to him too, or something. Yeah.
Honestly, I don't, not that I directly recollect, don't remember anything happening, but of course, you know, we weren't in the house a whole lot after, because I mean, like, I lived next door, you know, and, you know, Jeffrey still lived over there with my aunt, but, you know, we didn't particularly, you know, we had a lot of family over at our house.
Right, and right, right, right.
So to my knowledge, nothing else happened, but yeah. I mean, who knows? Maybe we weren't over there.
Yeah. Interesting. I don't think I've ever experienced things like that, like coming off the walls and moving objects and things like that. That'd be pretty creepy, man.
It was super weird.
I've seen stuff like, you know, something will fall off the wall, but I never attributed it to anything more than just this, that's how the universe functions sometimes. Well, sure. It's like the other day I was in a gas station and I was walking towards a restroom and there's a sign, they had letters above, you know, where the restroom where it spelled out restrooms and the S fell as I was walking, you know, as I'm going down, the S fell. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, but if the S fell, and then you walk into the bathroom, and then the towel dispenser falls over, and then you go into the stall, the toilet unspools off the. I think you would think, okay, something's going on.
Yeah, If I walk inside there, and someone asks me if I'm the gatekeeper, I'm turning right back. No
kidding. So, like, after all that, like, how many items would you say, like, were moved or fell or?
Okay. So there was. There was the Lego helicopter, and that the Lego helicopter happened before we were there. Yeah. And there was a I don't want to say a vase, but like it was a little like a mason jar glass or whatever that had flowers in it. My grandfather was a gardener, so that had fallen over and broke everywhere when we had already gotten over there. Once we got over there, that's when the picture hit Brian.
Mm.
And then we heard, you know, we hear click in the back of the room and we go back there. And then there was a, I think it was like a pop can or something like that. Okay. Which, you know, again, like a soda can's pretty light and it could have, but there's no one in the room. Yeah. And, you know,
and with everything else going on, it's a little suspect.
Yeah. We're up to like five items, you know, or something. So,
right. And then, you know,
there's a pattern emerging here.
It was hard. It's hard to remember, but I remember there was something else, like in the little. There was a little laundry, like not a room, but like a little laundry nook that was next to the kitchen where we went in there, and there was a couple things that had fallen off the shelf while we were in another room. So, but the only things that we were in the room for, me and Brian. I mean, I believe my grandfather when he said that the other stuff was. Flying around, but the only things we were in the room for was that the picture hitting Brian, and then I think that when we there was one of the rooms we went into, maybe it was the room with the soda can that, you know, there was like another noise or something that it happened that maybe I don't think anything fell over, but we were just like, you know, really just. It was tense.
Yeah.
You could feel it.
Yeah,
tension.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And was Jeffrey always in the room with you whenever you were going through the chasing it around?
He wasn't every time, but he was in the room with my grandfather. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, as we're going to these other rooms, he's in there with the grandpa. So, like, we don't, I mean.
Gotcha. So he was around. So.
I mean, yeah. And he was. Like I say, I wouldn't put it past him to have, like, him been doing this, like, physically.
Yeah.
But if he did any of it, he didn't do all of it. Right, you know what I mean?
Right. Interesting. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Man.
Good stuff.
Crazy. Yeah, dude. All right. You got anything else, man?
Nothing that's like really outside of just like little weird spooky coincidences that, you know, have happened and like honestly continue to happen. I think if you look at anything for long enough or actually look at something, you can see that there's weird stuff around.
Yeah. Yeah. Just depends on how aware you are, you know. That's cool, man. Thank you so much for
Thank you, guys. This has been fun. I appreciate talking about this stuff.
Wow. Thank you, Bucky, for those awesome stories. Those were really, really intense. And that story about seeing his grandfather outside of his body was a pretty intense story.
You know, it wasn't a dream, because he said he woke up to it. So it was like a vision.
Yeah.
And that's pretty powerful. And then the poltergeist, I guess, is the best word for it.
Yeah.
The house with Cousin Jeffrey.
Yeah, that was creepy. Those types of stories where things are moving and people are there to witness it is heavy-duty stuff, man.
And then having the experts come in to measure up and say, yeah, this is something going on, and it's Jeffrey is ruining it. So.
Yeah, great, great stuff. And again, we appreciate Bucky being on the show.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks a lot, Bucky. And if you got more to share, man, we want to hear it. And you guys out there listening to the podcast, as always, you know, if you got stories to share, we want to hear it. You know, we're creeping up on Halloween, and we got a couple of really good ghosty stories coming up for our next couple of episodes. We even have one that's going to be a Halloween related story for the podcast episode that'll drop right before Halloween. So that's really cool.
That's great.
So yeah, if you have any other holiday weird stories, particularly Christmas, because we're going to be coming up on Christmas soon enough, if you've got a real Christmas miracle or something like that that you can share, let us know, and we'll get you on the podcast for our Christmas special. And if not, we'll just have an end of the year special.
One way or the other, we're going to have a special.
Yeah, it's going to be special. It's always special. Every episode is special, and we love doing this, and we hope you love it. And if you do, rate and review us and tell your friends and tell everybody. I had to explain to my mom what a podcast was and how to get it, and then I had to do it again. but, you know, friend us on our Facebook account, add us there, and follow us on our social media, and, you know, let's all be friends, and let's share, and let's keep building this community, because, man, it's growing, and it's really cool to see it happen, and it's really cool to get the responses from everybody. So let us hear it, you know, leave us reviews, and send us messages and emails and all that stuff, and it gives us encouragement. It's just, it's awesome. As always, if you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them, we want to hear them all.
We can't do this podcast without your invaluable contributions.
Whether it's sharing your stories,
listening,
rating,
and spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for listening. Till next time, be safe.
Be weird.
The stories presented on the What's Your Weird Story podcast are, to our knowledge, true experiences that our guests have had. We can't take the time to research all claims made, and besides, it's just not as fun.